Okay, here we go. So this piyut, the Malsur, who wrote this piyut? Who is the author of this piyut? Normally they have this acrostic.
You know who wrote it?
Who?
Mordechai ben David HaMakabi.
Right, Mordechai, because of the acrostic. Okay, the acrostic are the first letters. Mem is Mos. Resh is Ros. Dalit, Devir, Mor, De. Chof is Kirois. Yevonim is the Yud. Okay, and then it's Chazak. Mordechai, Ches, well, Mordechai. And then, what is the list of Chasoif? Zeroya, Kotshechem, to expose. So what is the significance? The significance of the word chasoif, I don't know. I thought it's chazir, chazak. Chazoik, chasoif, is a ches, and zeroya is the arm, kotshecha is a kuf. So the first three words of the last stanza spell out chazak. Mordechai chazak. Mordechai chazak is the author of the piyut of Ma'osur. Okay, Mr. Rapport and Mr. Barth Heshi. We're learning today over here about the piyut of Mo'os Tzur. Okay, and Meir, you know when it was composed over here. I have the article that says it was composed in the 13th century. In the mid 13th century, this piyut was composed. Well, now what is this piyut? We went through a lot of time. This piyut basically goes through Jewish history. It goes through Jewish history. What's the obvious question? Today is not Pesach. It's not Purim, and it's not the times of Mashiach. So why then are we discussing, it's not Edom either. It's not a defeat of Edom. So why then are we discussing the miracles that do not relate to the Yom Tov of Hanukkah? The answer is, we've said this many times, this idea many times in the Shir, is that there is a rule that if a person experiences a miracle, so the halach is when he comes to the location where he experienced the miracle, he has an obligation to make a special baruch, Baruch Atah Hashem Kineh Melech Olam, Hashem, you have done for me a miracle in this location. What happens if a person has experienced in his lifetime more than one miracle? He experienced a miracle here, and he experienced a miracle somewhere else. Let's say he experienced five miracles in his lifetime, in five different locations. The halach is that when the person comes to one of these five locations, he should make a bracha, she'osalines b'makoyim hazeh. And once he makes the bracha on this miracle, he has an obligation to recall all of the other miracles that he experienced in different parts of the world, different locations. So it's the same idea. When we come to commemorate the Yom Tov of Hanukkah, the miracle, it triggers an obligation to commemorate all of the other miracles that we have experienced in our history. And we do this very often. We do this, you go and you study as a Pesach, the night of Pesach. What are the piyutim all about? The piyutim that we say in Nirtza are a reflection upon many, many other miracles that are not necessarily...
Korab Yom is all the miracles that happen at night and day.
Okay, that's by the night of Pesach. But there are other miracles that are not on this night of Pesach, and likewise, other miracles that happen to the Jewish people in different times of the year. Purim and Asher Haini. I don't remember all the details, but on Purim also there are piyutim. That's often what the paitonim do, is they fulfill, they enter into the arena to fulfill the obligation that when the person recalls a specific miracle, that triggers an obligation to remember all of the other miracles that we have experienced. And that's, in essence, what we're doing over here with Moser. Moser, the Yom Tov Purim, the Yom Tov Hanukkah is basically a celebration of our survival of Golos Yavan. Pesach is a celebration. Okay, Pesach is a celebration of the Golos of Mitzrayim. Okay, Purim is a celebration of our survival of the Golos of Paras Umodai. Chanukah obviously is a celebration of our survival of the Golos of Yavan. And hey, what did we leave out? Okay, we started with Bavel. Also, what is the celebration? Which Yom Tov is the celebration of the survival? I'm forgetting now. Which Yom Tov? Tisha B'Av. I think that's not mistaken. Tisha B'Av, now Tisha B'Av is not a Yom Tov. Tisha B'Av is a day of sadness. Yet, in Tisha B'Av, there are elements of celebration, as strange as it may seem. There are elements in Tisha B'Av I'm forgetting this old Tisha B'Av, sorry. There are elements in Tisha B'Av where we reflect on, although it's a day of mourning and tragedy for all of our tzaras, we survived. Like the classic medrash, Kina, it's Mizmar Le'osaf, Bohu Goyim Benachalo Secha. Mizmar Le'osaf, a song for Osaf, the Goyim have entered into your inheritance. The Gemara is the obvious question, what Mizmar Le'osaf? Kina Le'osaf Miboyle. Osaf should be saying an elegy, not a song. And the Gemara answers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis upon us. He poured out his anger upon the bricks and stones of the Beis HaMikdash and did not pour out his anger upon us. So there's what to sing about. The fact that we're here today to celebrate, the fact that we're still alive today, there's a Jewish people, there's an element of celebration. Now, we don't do this anymore. There used to be in time, way back in time of Tisha B'Av, when it became Chatzos, people were very merry. All right, J.J. Schachter from Yeshiva University, I heard him give very lengthy shiur about this, that it used to be, years ago, there was an element of celebration that took place on Tisha B'Av. In fact, we read a document where people would wish each other in America, "I'm wishing you a merry Tisha B'Av." Can you hear something? Like Lahavdil Elif, like the Goyim, they say a merry Kratzmach, a merry Tisha B'Av. And this wasn't a joke. This wasn't a Litzanis. This was, in Tisha B'Av, there is an element of joy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he poured out his anger on the bricks and stones, and we're still here to celebrate. We, of course, reflect upon the Tzaris. We have to fast the whole day, and we say Kinoitz, sit on the floor. But then it comes Chatzos. Chatzos, you get up. You get up, and you sing Elitzion Ve'oreha, K'mo'isha Ve'tzireha. There's a melody, there's a song. There is the sense of joy in survival. So what is Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av is the celebration of Golus. We have survived Golus Bavel. There are four Golios: Bavel, Parasumadai, Yavan, and Edom. Tisha B'Av is the day where we commemorate in a very unique way our survival of Golus Bavel. Purim is a celebration of our survival of Golus Parasumadai. Chanukah is a celebration of our survival of Golus Yavan. And then there is Golus Edom, which we are currently suffering from, and that will come to an end. And which holiday will be the holiday which will be our celebration? I'm not sure how this works, but there's also an element that the skulls will come to an end. So therefore, in this period, that's exactly what we're doing. We're going over the entire Jewish history. So first, it starts with Molosor, and Molosor was written by a person by the name of Mordechai. And he alludes to his name with the acrostic. The first letter of the first stanza are spell out Mordechai. And the last stanza, that is Chasoif Zeroy HaKodshecha. The first three words are the letters Chazak. Now, how does it begin? He begins with Chanukah. He begins, being that this is a piyut that is composed for Chanukah, the first section is about Chanukah. Mosur Yeshuasi. Hashem is called the stronghold. The Mos. A Moz is a stronghold. Tsur is a rock. We say every single day, davening Hashem, Tsuri v'goali. Hashem, you are my rock. You are the strongest thing. You are a rock. A stone is something which never goes away. Stones have been around from the time of the creation of the world, and they will always be here. A stone represents something which is permanent. Hashem is a stronghold, and He is my rock. Hashem is a constant. Everything in this world changes. Nothing remains the same. People come and go. Institutions come and go. entertain all different styles of food and clothing and lifestyles comes and goes. One thing, and friends, who your friends are today are not necessarily going to be your friends tomorrow. And who your enemies are today are not going to be your enemies tomorrow. Relationships with people, it's always in the state of flux. Everything in this world is always in a state of change. There's only one thing that remains a constant, and that is Hashem. And the mashal to define Hashem as a constant is a tzur, is a rock. Hashem is a stronghold. It said that we can be confident in His unchanging nature. Ma'osur Yeshuasi is the source of my salvation. So Hashem is described with the two words together, Ma'osur. We always like to say in the morning, we should really compile a long list of different titles and terms that we use to describe Hashem. He is my salvation, and therefore Luchot Yu Noeh, it is fitting. It is fitting l'shabech, to give, offer, praise. The word Noeh is a very interesting word. It is beautiful. What does it mean, the word Noeh? Noeh, in the art school, they translate the word as a delight. I don't know why they use that, the word a delight. Noeh means it is pleasant. There is a pleasantness in giving praise to Hashem. Tikkun beis tefilasi, we ask Hashem that, it's a request to establish, we learned this yesterday in Chumash, tikkun is to prepare, but tikkun, prepare beis tefilasi, my bias of prayer, the shaman there, toidon nezabech, we will offer a korban toida, a Thanksgiving offering. Now, it's interesting. We call the base. This is the a major theme of Chanukah. We don't really appreciate this. Is the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash, even though the miracle of Chanukah took place during the time of the Bayis Sheni, the Bayis Sheni existed for 420 years. The Bayis Sheni, the miracle of Chanukah took place smack in the middle. Near 200 approximately. And it was preceded by 50 very difficult years of Shmat. And it's even possible that during those 50 years, the Beis Hamikdash was not functioning. It was dysfunctional. There was Avodah Zarah, it was like a museum. The Avonim came in, they took it over, and they did whatever they wanted to do, and anyone was allowed to enter there. And the Beis Tefillah was batel. The Beis Tefillah was cancelled. We say it was shomein, it was desolate. So here, when we come over here to describe the Chanukah miracle, we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu, we reflect upon the Chanukah miracle, and we ask Hashem that just like in time of Chanukah, you went and the miracle in essence was you gave us back the Beis Hamikdash. It was almost like the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. It's tikkun, we ask Hashem to rebuild, to reestablish the Beis Tefilasi, the Shom there to done Nizabeach. We will offer a korban to the korban of Thanksgiving. Now, something very interesting about saying a korban toida. Chanukah, this is a very big topic. Chanukah, we have a very big debate. Is there an inyan to have a meal? Is there a requirement to eat a su'uda on Chanukah? And the answer basically is no. There is no requirement to have a su'uda. However, the Ramah says that a person does choose to have a su'uda. If you do choose to have a meal, and at the meal you relate words of Torah, then the meal is transformed into a su'udas mitzvah. You never have this principle. There is really one place you do have this principle, and that is by a bar mitzvah. A boy who is bar mitzvah, and it's not the calendar date of his bar mitzvah. If it's the calendar date of his bar mitzvah, then just having a meal, even if you don't say one word of Torah, automatically becomes a su'udas mitzvah. But let's say it is not the date of his bar mitzvah, it's a week later, a year later, but you're celebrating his bar mitzvah with this su'uda, then the rule is, if you speak words of Torah, then the su'uda is transformed into a su'udas mitzvah. If you do not speak words of Torah, then it's a mundane meal. It does not have the status, of being a su'udas. A su'udas mitzvah. Okay, you have to be able. It does not have the status of a su'udas mitzvah. unless you speak different. It's the same exactly when it comes to Chanukah. Chanukah be'etzem, if you have a meal, if you have a party, a family comes together, and you sit around and shmooze, it is not a Seudas Mitzvah. The only way to elevate a party, Chanukah party, to a Seudas Mitzvah is if you speak Divrei Torah. Then it becomes a Seudas Mitzvah. Now, here's what is very interesting. All of the korbanos that are offered in the Beis HaMikdash, many of them, in fact, probably most of them, are eaten. Who eats them? The Kohanim eat them. The Kohanim eat them. Or the owner of the carbon eats them. And what do you eat? You eat the animal. A person brings an animal, so what do? So you slaughter the animal, you give the Kohanim a certain portion, and certain portions of the carbon are put on the Mizbeach, and whatever is left over is eaten by the Kohanim or eaten by the owner of the animal, depending on his kachem kalim. These are all the big sugis. There's only one carbon where the Torah demands that you go out of your way to have a lot of food, and that is the carbon toida. When a person brings a carbon toida, it's a very unusual halacha. You have to bring 40 loaves of bread. 10 of them are chametz, and the other 30 are matzah. And it's not just flour and water. There's a lot of oil, trans fat, a lot, it's like donuts galore. How in the world are you going to eat 40 loaves of bread within 20, even less than, within the day you bring the carbon and the following evening? The only way you can possibly consume all of that bread, an enormous amount of bread, is if you invite a lot of people. A lot of people are going to be sitting around, and what are you going to be doing at this meal? We have 40 loaves of bread, and these are big, these are not small loaves of bread, this is big stuff. And you can imagine, once you have to have bread, oh, that bread, you're not going to just have bread. You're going to have to call up Essen and Koni, order some sushi, order some cold cuts. Who knows what you're going to have to go to be mashed on the, but you have to eat the bread within one day, one night in Yerushalayim. And when you bring all these people together, you're going to have to tell them why I'm having this party. And you're going to tell them because I something good happened to me. Something good. I bring a carbon toilet. I was ill and Hashem healed me. I was in danger and Hashem took me out of danger. It could be you can bring a voluntary carbon toida. When you bring a carbon toida, it triggers eating. Because the carbon toida has such an unusual halacha, you have to eat 40 loaves of bread. There's no other carbon that you have to do this. The only thing that comes close is a nazir. A nazir has to bring 20 loaves of bread. It's similar almost. They say that a nazir is also a form of a carbon toida. So here is Chanukah. And here, we mean mispal to Hashem. We want to thank Hashem. Hashem is my mosur. Hashem is described as a constant. The Yavanim, a rock. The rocks are here. I remember when I was in Brooklyn College years ago, we had to go to meet our professor in Central Park, geology. It was a core class, 2-credit class. What a pain in the neck. For 2 credits, you have to go to Central Park, waste the whole Sunday, go to Central Park, meet the professor, and he gives us a tour of Central Park, and he shows us all of these rocks, and he tells us how many billions of years old this rock is, how many billions of years old this rock is. Yeah. I've listened to all this chokhmah of the rocks, but one thing you take out of that, the rocks have been here a long time, a lot longer than any one of us, and the rocks will be here long after we're all gone. The rock is a constant. The Yavanim, they're gone. They're gone. They came up with a new ideology, a new way of life, new set of values. They're gone. They're completely, there's no zecher of them. What remains? The only thing that remains is a constant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we start off, Hashem, you are a stronghold that is a constant, you will never disappear. Mosur Yeshua, see, and you are the source of my salvation. L'cha, to you it is fitting to give praise. Tikkun Beis Tefilosti, we start with the request, please build the Beis HaMikdash, because Chanukah was a tekufa where there was no Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was botel for 50 years. Could be they did not even bring any korbanos because it was taken over by the Yevonim and the Misyavnim. And then we say to Hashem, when we build the Beis HaMikdash, what are we going to do? We're going to bring a korban toidah. We're going to eat. Jews love to eat. We're going to bring a korban toidah, a korban of thanksgiving. And the korban of thanksgiving involves food. Le'es, at the time, tochin matbeach, when we prepare, the time that you will prepare, now here comes some revenge. Matbeach means the slaughter. The enemy will be slaughtered. Mitzar, from the enemy, ha-min-a-beach, that barks. Now this is very interesting. Why did the Python, Mordechai Chazak, refer to our enemy as dogs? The word nabeach means to bark. Every creature, in Hebrew at least, has their unique expression for its sound, for its unique sound. Dogs bark, donkeys neigh, horses, I forgot. Okay, every creature has a unique expression describing the sound it makes. And dogs are the only ones that get this term, minabeach. Our enemies are called dogs. Okay, they're not going to like to hear that. Our enemies, the collective sum total of our enemies are going, why? What is the midah of a dog? What is the unique? Dog is man's best friend. Dog is very loyal. Right, we all know that. Dogs are very, very loyal. But the truth is, I mean, at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, this is a source of Mefarsh, I was preparing them just until you drop. At the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, what does it say? V'layechatz kelev l'shoinei. When we left Egypt, the dogs didn't bark. Why does the Pasuk need to tell us that? As the Jewish people left Egypt, what's the Pasuk again? L'yechatz kelev l'shoinei. No dog barked when the Jewish people left Egypt. What is that all about? Why? Sorry?
The Malachim Ovis.
Oh, so that's the drasha. The drasha is a little...
And this time they didn't forewarn anybody.
Normally, if dogs bark, it means the Malacham Avos is in town. If dogs are laughing, it means what does it mean if dogs are laughing? It means something good. But the dogs, so if, okay, that's there are many perushim. But al derech derush, when it says v'lo yechratz kelev l'shoinei, you know who the dogs are? The Egyptians. The Egyptians are the dogs, and the people. Yeah, that's just a drush. The Pasuk Shana means the actual dogs, because the Malacham Avos was not there, and that's why we reward the dogs like Kelef Tashlich and so a person has meat from an animal that's not kosher, or from a shrit that's not kosher, and the Veil of Treifa, he's supposed to give a gift to the dog. Why? Because the dogs is a reward. They kept their mouth shut when we left Egypt. But it's deeper than that. It's not just that a dog is an animal. It refers to our enemies. Our enemies are dogs. What is now? I don't know all the pratim, but a dog is a very complicated creature. A dog can be man's best friend. How many stories are there out there where dogs give up their lives for their master? They ferociously protect their master. Dogs have a very great sense of smell. Our enemies are very, very much aware. They're very in tune of where we are holding in Ruchnius. Someone reminded me yesterday, Yaakov Avinu, what did he say? What did Yaakov Avinu say to Esav? V'hoyo kasher torid, uforakto uloi mi'al tzavarecha. It will be that if your brother, Torid, will stumble, if your brother, Yaakov Avinu, will not be holding with the program, he will stumble in his spirituality, he will not be a Yorei Shamayim, then you know what? Uforakto ulo me'al tzavarecha. You have the right to the right uforakto to loosen the yoke. Me'al tzavarecha. You will take off the yoke that Yaakov Avinu puts on Esav will be taken off, and Esav will be let loose and can harm when give any harm he wants to bring upon Yaakov. Will be given permission. Esav being given permission to cause the Jewish people harm. A dog is a very good sense of smell. It knows where you are holding. When Mashiach will come, it says about the Melech HaMashiach that he will judge people with the sense of smell. Pasuk in Yeshaya, I don't remember this moment in time, we learn this in the Haftarah, one of the Haftarahs, that when Mashiach will come, the Melech HaMashiach, he will be Mola Yer HaShemayim, L'marbe HaNisra U'L'Sholem in Kates, he will be the ultimate authority, there will be unlimited peace, and he will V'Hirichoy Badin. It says here in the Pasuk that he will judge through the sense of smell. Now that's not fair. Today you go to a court of law, if a judge says, you know, this is how I feel. I feel that you're guilty. So you're guilty. I'm a Republican and you're a Democrat. So you know what, I'm going to make you suffer, or vice versa. I'm a Democrat and you're a Republican. I'm going to make you suffer because that's how I feel. That's what I sense. That's corruption at its highest form. However, the Melech HaMashiach is not corrupt. Melech HaMashiach somehow is able to judge, has a license to judge with just a sense of smell. Now, smell is not to be taken literally, but it means you size up the situation. Everyone here can relate to that. You deal with people all the time, and you can smell a rotten apple a mile away. Oh, but he crossed all the T's, dots the I's, and yes, you know, he's able to go and outsmart you. No, that they get away. The wicked people know how to get away with quite a bit. But you can sense something is not right in Denmark when someone is not behaving the right way. So here's the Chiddush. La'asilavoi, the Melech HaMashiach is going to be able to judge with a sense of smell. From all the creatures that we know that live amongst man, the dog is the one that has the greatest sense of smell. An incredible slinky. We know we have all these dogs that are used in search teams to find people. You give them a sense of smell, they have an incredible sense of smell. The goyim are called dogs. Why are they called dogs? They know we were holding more than we know we were holding. The goyim, they know, they right away see where the Jews are holding. They're not impressed by our number, big numbers. They're not impressed if we have wealth. They're not impressed if we have political power. The goyim know, uforakta, it's in their subconscious. It's built into their essence. Hashem created them, uforakta uloy me'al tzavarecha. If the Jews don't behave, if they're not yirei shamayim, Esav, you have permission to loosen, to undo the yoke that the Jewish people have put around your neck. You can take off that yoke and you can release yourself from their authority, from their power and influence, and you can basically do to them whatever you want. And the goyim, they're waiting desperately for that moment, and they have tools to know when we are not holding where we should, because they are dogs, and they have that sense of smell, just like it's zel l'umazet, just like the Melech HaMashiach, and the ultimate gula, Melech HaMashiach will be able to go in to judge mankind with the koich of sense. You can pick up immediately if a person is for real or not. Likewise, we Klal Yisrael. Likewise, the goyim now. They have that sense of smell in a bad way, like a dog. And when they see that we're not Yirei Shemayim, they will bark at us. They will bark at us, they'll terrify us, they'll bite us, and bring upon us suffering. We're waiting for Mashiach to come, where we will take this dog that's barking upon us, because they're barking because of their sense of smell, and we will bring them to the slaughter and give them what they deserve. Okay, that's one of the mahalach of why we call their enemies dogs, because they have the sense of smell, and their sense of smell is zelum azet, the sense of smell of Melech HaMashiach, and they're waiting uforakt ulam yal tzavrecha. And when it comes to Yitzias Mitzrayim, where it says, "Ulachol b'nei Yisrael lo yechratz kelev l'shoynoi," what does it mean now? They didn't bark. You know why? Because when the Jewish people, they left Mitzrayim, they understood, they appreciated the greatness of the Jewish people. They saw, "Ulachol b'nei Yisrael hayor b'moish v'esam." Even a goy knows when they've been defeated by the kedusha of the Jewish people. They know, they also have a sense at a point in time of the sanctity of Klal Yisrael. And when we left Egypt, they acknowledged who we truly were. Okay, that's one mahalach. Another approach of a dog is, a dog on the one hand can be man's best friend. On the other hand, a dog can be a vicious tyrant. It's a complicated creature. The goyim, Yaakov Avinu said to Hashem, "Hatzileni no, miyad ochi, miyad Esav." And everyone, all the Asharim say the same exact word. Esav comes to us two different midas. Sometimes he embraces us in order to pull us in and destroy us from within. And sometimes Esav barks at us, wants to destroy us. In America, we're suffering, so miyad is this miyad ochi, when Esav is so nice, calm, join us, land of opportunity, you can do whatever you want. What has that brought upon us? Unfortunately, it's 80% assimilation in America. How many millions of Jews have literally disappeared into thin air because of miyad ochi? You're our brother. You can do whatever you want. And then there's a time when the goyim put us in ghettos and they discriminate against us and they bark at us and they want to destroy us. A dog is called a menabeach because our enemies are dogs. On the one hand, a dog can be man's best friend. On the other hand, if you're not his best friend, you can rip to shreds, bite. It can be extremely violent and dangerous. A dog can be extremely dangerous. I once had a friend, and he had a dog. I was talking about dogs, and he was talking about petting, you know, these kids. You know, they go on the street, and there are people that walked in and brought flappers. So many people have dogs. And like some kids, little kids, they like dogs. They go over to the dog, and they want to pet the dog. So he was a bucky, a mumch in dogs. And he told me, very dangerous what these kids do, because there are different types of dogs. There are some dogs that are very, very gentle. They're very good, even though they're big and they're scary to certain people and they're afraid of dogs. The truth is, they're very good natured dogs. And if a kid goes up to the dog and you pat the dog on the head, nothing's going to happen to them. But there are dogs who are very dangerous. They're very violent. And even though you think you're nice and you know you're idle and you want to just pet the dog can just turn on you and in a moment's notice it can bite. They're very dangerous. You have to know, you have to ask the master, what kind of dog is this? Is this a delicate dog or a vicious dog? A dog can be man's best friend and can be vicious. Our enemy is miyad ochi, miyad Esav. And that's why it says over here, mitzar, from the enemy, Haminabeach, that barks. Okay, Oz Egmar, Bashir Mizmar. Then, when all of this happens, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he rebuilds the Beis HaMikdash, he gives us a Beis Tefillah, a place to pray, and we offer to Hashem a Karban Toida, and Hashem prepares the slaughter for our enemies that are compared to dogs, then I will conclude with a Shir Mizmar, with songs, psalms, songs, Chanukas HaMizbeach, a song that mentions the dedication, the Chanukas, the dedication or the rededication of the Mizbeach. Okay, so the guy over here, a lot of play on words. First of all, when it says over us, egmar means to complete. Ligumar esahala. See, we don't say hala on Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh, we only say on Rosh Chodesh, ordinarily, chatzi hala. Why? It's not a full Yom Tov. Rosh Chodesh, you're allowed to work. On Rosh Chodesh, there's no requirement to have a meal. So what is Rosh Chodesh all about anyway? Because you bring a carbon musaf? Okay, so it's not a real Yom Tov. But we do know that originally the intent was that Rosh Chodesh was meant to be a full-fledged Yom Tov. What happened? It was because of the Egel. And for that reason, women who did not participate in the Egel to the same degree, they celebrate Rosh Chodesh more. So what do? Whenever we have a holiday that is incomplete, it's really mainly only holidays, it's Rosh Chodesh, we do not conclude. We do not recite the complete Hallel. We skip around, we skip Psukim and Hallel in order that it should not be complete, because it can't be complete, because our redemption, our celebration is incomplete. But when you have a complete holiday, then it's Oz Egmor, then it's complete, then you can recite the complete Hallel. Oz Egmor Bashir Mizmar, a song to celebrate the renewal, the Chanukas, the rededication of the Mizbeach. The rededication of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is the place where we offer sacrifices to Hashem. So you have to appreciate over here the plan words. The plan words over here is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will prepare the slaughter of our enemies, when Hashem will sacrifice our enemies, we will reciprocate and bring sacrifices to Hashem. We're asking Hashem to prepare the slaughter, to prepare the slaughter of the dogs who are our enemies. When they will be slaughtered and sacrificed, then we will reciprocate and also rededicate the Mizbeach, where we can offer sacrifices to Hashem. All right, now obviously, this is poetic. Obviously, this is just, a tip of yam to try to translate and relate this part of the Mizmar, Hashem, I'll review very quickly here. There are so many different themes being expressed over here in so few words. Mosor, it's a description of Hashem, and it's a very unique description. We know that Hashem has many names. There are many ways to describe Hashem. On Chanukah, the description of you can probably look at every single Yom Tov and find a different name of Hashem, and that name of Hashem is Matim. It fits for that the unique relationship that we have with Hashem on that particular Yom Tov. What would you call Hashem on Rosh Hashanah? Very simple, Hamelech. Isn't that the best way? How do you relate to Hashem on Rosh Hashanah? Hamelech. Hamelech. How would you relate to Hashem on Yom Kippur? Avinu, our Father. Because Yom Kippur, we're asking for Rachmanis, Hashem should forgive us. Like a father. Kerachim of Albonim. So Pesach, Roshon, you would call Hashem, what's the title? Hamelech. Yom Kippur, you call Hashem Avinu. Sukkos. What term would you use? Would you use to describe Hashem on Sukkos? I don't know. You gotta think about it. What would you use to describe Hashem on the Yom Tov of Shavuot? Zman Matan Tarasenu, Rebbe, Rabbeinu, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem is our teacher. Hashem gave us Hashem Bocha Bar Mikol V'Nosan Lanu Es Toirasai. Hashem is our teacher. He's Moreinu V'Rabbeinu. He's the ultimate Moreinu Rabbeinu. And what word is there? And you have to go search different words. Okay, what title would you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Pesach? He's our Gibor. He took us out of Mitzrayim.
Goaleinu.
I'm sorry?
Goaleinu.
Okay, so there are different words that are used to, if you have to select one word. Each festival, there's a word which defines HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Chanukah, what word would you use for Chanukah? So it's very interesting. The Python, Mordechai Chazak, is telling us the term is Mo'oz tzur. That's the term. Our stronghold rock. Our Hashem is a rock. That's our stronghold. And it's really powerful, as we explained before, we're not going to repeat the whole thing, is because Hanukkah represents, again, there are many dimensions to Hanukkah, to every Yom Tov, but Hanukkah represents a concept where there's always in every generation a new fad. There's always a new ideology. There's always a new movement in this world, which the world gets swept up in. Okay, there is this nationalism, there is communism. Now, what would you say in the 21st century? What's this? What's the new? What's the there's a belief in science? I don't know. It's hard to define. But there's no question that every generation has a new hashkafa that people are just somehow, it's very endearing. And people flock to this new belief, this new approach to life. And then time passes and they come to realize, you know something? It's not really so good. Let's abandon it and let's try something else. A different philosophy, a different approach, a different belief system, a different direction. And the end of the day, the only thing that will always remain, the acharechein kechloisakol levado yimloch nora. And that's Hashem. And that's why Hashem is called the rock, the most. So Hanukkah was probably the ultimate new fad. Yevonim, the Yevonim siavnos. This introduction to living science. Science was a, you know, it's not for nothing. Everything is b'hashkocha pratis. Everything is amazing. The news really relates to hafech b'hafech b'dekulubah. I mean, everyone I'm sure here listened to Fauci speak. Tony Fauci. Everyone here I'm sure listened to him speak. Tony Fauci has been darshening every day, almost since for the last 2.5 years, before 2 years before COVID came along. I never heard of him. I have no idea who runs the CDC. I don't even know what the CDC was. I thought the CDC stand for the Center of, what was it called? The Center for the Dysfunctional People of Chelm. C is Chelm and D is dysfunctional. The Center for the Dysfunctional People of Chelm. That's what I thought. I didn't know I don't know what it was. I didn't know who this person was. Okay. I actually believed in him. I had a lot of respect for him. I'm not trying to make any political statements. I really was very happy there was a person like him that was going to help us get through this. I really did. Okay, it's not important what I think of him now. It's not important. But I found it amazing that on Hanukkah, he made a speech and he said, if you disagree with Tony Fauci is science. I am science. I am the mahus of science. If you disagree with me, you disagree with science. And he said, I said, mamash, those words, I'm telling you word for word he said. And he said it was such a tekifos. You know, 2.5 years, he said it also, he said it once before also. Not 2.5, two years, almost 2 years now. Not 2.5, a little less than 2 years. He never said it was such a tekifus. What are the chances he'll make such a statement like that with such a tekifus on Hanukkah? On Hanukkah? That's what Hanukkah was. Hanukkah was, forget about Ruchnias, it's all totally in science. Haloi Dava? It's unbelievable. Hafech ba'afech ba'dekulubah. I think it's really an amazing year how you see these things come out. But the way this period begins, this Mo Sur Yeshuasi, is Hashem is a rock. A rock was here before, will be here after, constant. The Mahus of Chanukah is to be makir, that as time goes on, and new fads and new ideologies come, they come and go, just like cars come and go, styles come and go, entertainment comes and goes. The only thing that remains when it's all over is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's the Mosur Yeshuasi, L'cha, it's a holiday where it's no'e l'shabayach. It's fitting. Hashem deserves it, that we should give ourselves over. We mispala, the major element of Chanukah is the rebuilding of the Beis Tefilasi. The Beis HaMikdash is Beis Tefilah L'chol Ho'amin. They took it away from us. It was the renewal of the Beis HaMikdash, and we ask Hashem, as this is a springboard that it should be Nochamal, and then we talk about V'sham Toida Nizabech V'yavimu Karban Toida. The selection of Karban Toida means eat. Bring a voluntary Karban, we'll be able to eat. L'eis Tochid Madbeach. At the time when our enemies will be slaughtered, the ones, what kind of enemies? The enemies who are dogs. And we discuss the significance of dogs. And then when that happens, us egmar, it will be a complete holiday. No longer a partial holiday. With a Shir Mizmar, the Chanukah, the renewal of the Mizbeach, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will slaughter our enemies, we will reciprocate by bringing sacrifices to Hashem. Okay, but I have to go. I have to go now. Thank you very much for coming. At least we learned the first paragraph, which really sets the tone of what Chanukah is all about. Have a wonderful evening. Again, thank you for coming.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good night.
Good night. Be well. Be well. Blazer, thank you for coming, Blazer.
Good night. Thank you very much.
Recording in progress.